17 days into December 2015. Happy Thursday. There's Keith Klein.
Hey there.
The sunshine will be a little misleading today. We've had so many days where it's been cloudy and temperatures in the 50s and 60s. We're going to have plenty of sunshine today, but not even see 40. That's the average high temperature this time of year. 39 for a high today, 25 and partly cloudy tonight, and only 36 in clouds on Friday. The good news, there is a 0% chance of precip today, tomorrow, Saturday, and even Sunday. So rain or snow or sleet, none of that will be in the forecast. We do warm up beginning on Sunday. Sunday will rack off 10 straight days of 50 or better. And during that 10-day stretch, the three warmest days, Keith, will be 62 on Christmas Eve, 61 on Christmas Day, and 62 on Boxing Day. The bad news is during that stretch, rain, 60% chance or better, 9 of those 10 days. So you will have to bring an umbrella, but you will not have to worry about snow boots, snow pants, snow shovels, snow blowers, snow globes,
so
frost,
I need to get
anything else.
Christmas barbecue in the backyard ready to go.
Sand pit, volleyball court, water slide, kiddie pool.
SPF,
sure.
Sunscreen.
And jump in some muddy puddles
We're
if you like
to this
as
kind of
well.
Weather.
I opined yesterday on the airwaves that I would have to ask somebody like you or Joe Smith, who has been around longer than I have, to remember Christmas this mild, but a December this mild. You can count on three fingers in the first 17 days how many cool days there have been. Now, the nights are cold. That's fine. But when you're getting in the 50s and 60s during the day, and you had a record high temperature, 70 degrees last Saturday was a record by 5 degrees, not 1 degree. Yeah. It smoked it. Keep an eye on the radar next week. Keep an eye on the changing conditions. It doesn't look like it. Just enjoy the warmth. This is what boring weather sounds like in other parts of the world, when you don't have to worry about snow and sleet or anything like that. Good luck to finals participants today at Ivy Tech at Indiana University, and the kids wrapping up their week at the MCCSC. And to talk about more school issues, we bring in Sue Wanzer. Sue and Keith both serve on the MCCSC school board. Keith serves as the president. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm cold, but that's okay, I guess, because there's no snow.
And it's going to be in the 60s next week. You'll be fine. You'll be a buck.
I know.
Buck up, little camper. We'll get through this together. we'll get through all this.
Let's
cover an Indianapolis story that you just heard at the top of the hour on Fox National News. That two school districts, Danville and Plainfield, have both been closed today. Today was their last day of school. I guess they don't go on Fridays, according to reports at WTHR.com. They were closed today because of some online threats, and according to the newscasters at WTHR, Bruce Kopp and I think it was Chris Kirshner was the other one, tweeting out the updates. Let's get you caught up on this story. Plainfield schools have closed Thursday following an online threat overnight. Police say the same threat might have moved to Danville, also prompting the corporations to cancel classes for the day. Danville Police Chief William Wright said at a news conference this morning, we're just flat out not going to put up with it. We are not going to deal with it. We're going to put them in jail. Police say social media threats against Danville are connected to the ones against Plainfield, and the suspects could face several charges related to intimidation as well as other charges. Police say they are continuing to investigate the new threat, and they will catch the culprits. This is a new age for us. It just blew up, Wright said, of backtracking online threats about the source. Some of the tweets coming out from the newscaster said the Danville police chief said it was a freshman and a senior, but it doesn't sound like, I don't know if the story hasn't been updated quickly enough, but I'm going to read the tweets from the anchors at WTHR that I've seen. Bruce Kopp and Mimi Pierce. Bruce Kopp and Carrie Klein are out there, so we'll see what's going on. And they're holding a press conference now on all of this. So we'll see what's going on. As again, it's a situation where, Sue, it's not funny. It shouldn't be funny. And it's good to see that it sounds like the Danville police aren't going to put up with any of this.
No, it's not funny. And I don't know what the motivation was there. I don't know why, what was going on with these students that they wanted to do this. I don't know if it had anything to do with what happened in Los Angeles, with the threats that they had, but it's very serious, and I'm really pleased that Danville and Plainfield will jail these people. I hope that they'll be tried. I really hope, because they're minors, their parents are brought into this, and also will take some responsibility for what happened. And it just shows how all school corporations, and I know especially ours, is very, very concerned about safety for all of our students. And I don't think anybody is sitting back taking any of this very lightly at all.
They shouldn't be. And some of the tweets I saw earlier have now been deleted from Bruce Kopp's Twitter feed. At one point, they said it was a senior and a freshman. That's gone. That's no longer on his feed. That's what I read last hour before we changed the hit at the top of the hour. Those tweets are that tweet is gone from his thing. So this is a very fluid situation, and I'm just reading what is being posted on his timeline. He's a journalist with WTHR.com. I mean, that's a trusted source, in my opinion, if they put him on the air to talk about it. But some of those tweets have disappeared, so we'll see when they get updated on that. That's the hard thing with some of these stories sometimes. Everybody wants to be first, and what the accuracy is a little different. We do know the schools are closed. We do know that the Plainfield and Danville police are taking this very, very seriously. And in this day and age, you have to take it seriously. And I don't buy into the excuse that this is funny. Funny who? You have to live in a cave, in a hole, so deep in the earth not to know that terrorism or terror in general shouldn't be put up with. But we'll move on. If that story updates, we will update it here as well. The good news is hopefully they're on the right investigative track to finding what exactly is going on here. Sue Wanser and Keith Klein join us. They both serve on the MCCSC school board. And the last meeting of the year.
Tuesday night. Exciting news for Fairview School. Sue?
Very exciting. You know, at Fairview, for about 5 years, we've had artful learning, and we've had some stops and starts as we attempted to improve and enhance. Well, now we really have this total new model, which will be Fairview Artful Learning and Performing Arts Community School. It's a very extensive and intensive new model. It will combine the artful learning academic curriculum with studio and a studio performance model. Kids will go in there and have majors and minors, such as keyboarding and dance and drumming and 2D visual arts and 3D visual arts. We'll have an art studio and a dance studio. So this is really pretty exciting. For anybody who wants to really look at the details, it's on the MCCSC website, because also what Dr. Justin Hunter, principal of Fairview, did for us was he presented to us the entire schedule of what a day would look like, and it's pretty jam-packed. It's more of a block scheduling, and there'll be time for all of the academic things, as well as what I mentioned, the arts block and the music block and the dance performance and the theater performance. So kids are going to get some choice in here. They're going to get to pursue some of the interests of theirs that really excite them, and this will start next fall. And it is so very, very exciting to see this. And because of the artful learning model, you know, we're taking, it's open enrollment, and students from anywhere in the district
may
apply.
Can you say magnet school?
Yeah. So
when is that enrollment? Is that now?
Sure, you could start
talking about it now. When do children?
The program itself will start in the fall.
Right, but when enrollment?
That's a good question, Glass. I'm not exactly sure when or how the enrollment procedure will happen, but all of that information will go out to all families of students in the school.
Well, and the truth of the matter, Sue, is that it depends on how much room they have in the classes. It's not just anybody can come. The school serves a specific area, and if there are if there is room, then they'll take students from other schools.
Right, and if there's more than what we can take, there'll be a lottery, and then students will be chosen to be able to attend. So this is just really, really exciting. Dr. Hunter has a whole marketing program, so people will be being contacted soon. This is the first rollout of this. This is the first public viewing, so to speak, of what this was going to look like, how teachers were going to be trained to be a part of this. And as Keith said, it was really, really exciting because we had so many faculty from Fairview
right.
there. Just to be a part of this and to watch this roll out to the community.
Well, so, I want to put this in perspective for Mike because and the listeners. On Monday, they did their annual violin concert. They did a daytime version and a nighttime version. And they've had this program, this Artful Learning Program, Mike, for 8 years. They brought out a graduate of Fairview who's now in the eighth grade. So 8 years, get that? She then, after the kids from Fairview played, she's a concert-level violinist, eighth grader, who came up through that system. That's the kind of success that they're having there. Now, not every kid's going to become a concert violinist, but you should see the effect that it has on all aspects because they're not only learning music, they're learning math, they're learning social skills, all of the other things. It's a pretty amazing program.
Well, and as Dr. Hunter said at the meeting, he said for so many kids who might feel like they can't achieve or they don't have a lot of opportunities, this has really changed what a lot of those kids experience, and it has improved their self-esteem, and it really has allowed them to feel like they can achieve and they can move forward when maybe at one time they felt like they couldn't.
Sue, I want to change the subject now. I want to talk a little bit about the fiasco going on in
the state of
Indiana.
Yeah.
It's gotten to be ridiculous. And it's like all of the sudden, the politicians in the state of Indiana have awakened to the fact there might be a problem with ISTEP. This is just ridiculous.
Might be.
Well, go ahead.
That's saying I might be tall.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
There might be problems. There are problems.
Well, but why did it take so long for them to climb on board to figure all of this out? We took these ISTEP exams back last spring, Mike, and we're now being told we might get the results in January. January. We've been promised these results. You know, there's a lot of judgments made about the students, about the kids, about the teachers. It's all up in the air.
Not only do we have to wait until January, we now know that there were some scoring problems in this test. That people knew that there were computer problems with how these tests were scored. They knew about it, and they did nothing and said nothing about it. They just let it go on. So, you've heard me for years rail against this kind of standardized testing and how it's used because it's used inappropriately. Now we know we've had for a couple of years problems with the administration of the test. Now we have problems with scoring of the test. Now we have problems with people responsible not coming forward to talk about it. If people don't realize now that this is a joke, it is serving no one, it is wasting millions of dollars throughout the state, and it's wasting our teachers' time in trying to prepare for a test that is meaningless when they could be spending time with more meaningful teaching and learning in the classrooms.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. So the next step for ISTEP is what? Is this contract done after next year? You rebid
it's
this.
It's done this year.
It's done, so you rebid it out.
Right, Pearson, another manufacturer of textbooks, is coming in to do it. And by the way, Mike, their track record is no better than McGraw-Hill's track record in the states where Pearson has been giving the equivalent of the ISTEP test. And they were given an opportunity to test ahead of time. Pearson said, no, we don't need to do that. We already know what we can do. So, you know, hey, it's ludicrous. That's all I can say.
I think what is happening, it's been talked about in our community, and it's been talked about throughout the state, and this is actually a national kind of move. Parents want to opt out of taking the test. They want to keep their kids home, or they want them in school being taught, and there are parents saying, we won't let our child be tested. Now, when that happens, unless we have, like, this really, really a significant number of people doing it, when it happens, it counts against us in the grade.
Right.
So it hurts the school, it hurts the teachers, it hurts everybody when people opt out. But, hey, I sure understand why a parent would want to opt out when we've had so many problems over such a long period of time. And it sounds now like we can't trust the people creating the test, we can't trust the people scoring the test, and we can't trust our state board of education, who is responsible for saying this is what's going to happen in our school.
Let's talk good news, Sue. Where's my bus? We have a new app, and it's going to be available soon, that'll tell parents where the bus is.
Yeah, it's called Here Comes the Bus, and this is going to be really great. You can upload it on an Android phone, an iPhone, on a tablet, on a laptop, on your desktop, and it will tell you, as Keith said, when your bus is arriving or where it is in your neighborhood. So you can get a push notification, and then you'll get a text or an email that says bus will arrive at such and such time, which makes it easier, especially if there's a few-minute delay and your kid doesn't want to stand out in really cold weather. It's just going to be so much handier for everybody to know exactly when their bus is coming.
And it's free. Now, there are some things, some additional things you could pay for to have on, but the overall app to find out where the bus is and when it gets there is free. And that's going to be available mid-January.
Yeah, I think what we heard was that we were going to have some testing in mid-January, and then the public launch would be by February 2016.
And they've got to outfit some of the buses with the equipment, too.
Well, yeah, they got to know where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Fun
like
stuff.
GPS for your school bus.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what you're going to use. When are you guys back in action then?
School wise?
We're always in action.
School board wise.
We have an organizational meeting in January, and then our next school board meeting will be the fourth Tuesday in January.
And your organizational meeting will do what?
New officers, new committees that the board members serve on, reorganize that in that respect.
By law, class, we have to have, all school boards have to reorganize, I think it's by January 10th or the 12th, so we're meeting on January 5th, and that's a public meeting, but the only business we'll be conducting is to name or elect our officers and appoint people to different positions, so... it'll be an exciting time.
It is. So you will reorganize the organization, and we will see what's happening. We will talk not next Thursday, but perhaps the Thursday after that.
Oh, okay. What's next Thursday?
Christmas Eve.
But we will be available, Sue, if you're available on New Year's Eve.
I am available.
We're going to get Sue one of those cat calendars, one, you know, a different cat every day, just so she can.
Oh, I would love one of those. Hey,
that's right.
I'm available next Thursday if you are on the air. But if
we are not. That's
fine.
That's why. So okay. We will see you or hear you in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful Christmas time and holiday season.
Thank you.
And
Thank
we'll
you
get caught
much.
Up with you the day before 2016.
Okie dokie.